Now then, we got quite a few things tonight that I'd like to get into. A lot of things on my mind. If I could get into the anointing to where the Lord would express them to me. Well, I'd love to be able to bring out a few thoughts on it if I could. There's so much attached to this 1, 2, 3 here. I think I'll start by trying to explain the dimensions, because this is one of the most important parts, seems like, of the whole thing as far as being able to get God to express himself to you. Now, first of all, we all know that you don't have to be a prophet and you don't have to be some special person to hear the voice of God. How many of you know that?
Amen.
The Bible said, my sheep know my voice. And I don't claim to be nothing except a Christian. I believe I'm a Christian. That's by the grace of God. But we can hear the voice of the Lord Jesus. We can do it, Brother Jim. And the Bible said, whoever has an ear, let the churches hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Let them hear. And he wasn't talking about an altar bench, and he wasn't talking about a building. But to him, there's but one church, and that's the church he's going to rapture out, and that's not a building. It's a building, all right. But the Bible teaches it's God's building. The lively stones built up into a holy priesthood. The Bible teaches that Satan walked among the stones of fire. Isn't that right? In the book of Revelation, or in the book of, or the Old Testament rather, it calls him Lucifer, the son of the morning. And he said he walked amid the stones of fire. When the sons of God came to present themselves, Satan came also. There is but one stone of fire, and that's the jewels that he said he would remember when he came to make them up. And a diamond is a stone of fire. It's got fire in it, the colors of the rainbow. And the Bible teaches that these stones will outshine the noonday sun, and the sun's a ball of fire. These are stones of fire. Satan walked up and down amid the stones of fire. Now, in this three-dimensional thing here that we've got, we break it down in Jew, Catholic, and Protestant. Now, the reason we do that is to break it down in a religious thing, because we are dealing with religion. Now, you can break it down in a number of ways. You can break it down agricultural, political, and religious. That is in three different major steps. You can break it down. A lot of applications you can give to it. But the thing that I tried to get over today was God did miracles in the natural in the first dispensation, which was the water world. And then he did miracles in the physical, in the second dimension, as we've got that line, in the physical world. And now you might say, well, why did he do it like that? Because Jesus' purpose was to come to earth and defeat Satan in every capacity of life and to restore whatever he had tampered with and purge it and purify it. So the first great purging was the old world. Is that right? Now to us, when you speak about the world, all we know is this world, this earth. But God doesn't necessarily refer to the earth as being the world. He refers to the earth as being the earth. But when he refers to the world, he refers to a system. And Peter said the old world perished by the water. But he said the same earth that it was set up on is still here. It was to go through a three-dimensional purging. It was to go through water, then it was to go through the fire, that is the blood, and then it was to go through the spiritual purging, which is really the fire in the end, the blood in this one. Now, so then the water purging was the first 2,000 years. The fire purging was a symbol of blood for the next 2,000 years. How many of you know that the first 2,000 years from Adam down into the flood, there was a purging of water? He purged the natural earth. Isn't that right? And then the next rim was the beast rim. This was a rim of vegetation. But the next rim was the beast rim. Did you notice that in the water purging in the first rim, how many of you know what survived in that? Only the water creature survived in it. That's right. Whatever was a water creature, well, it survived in it. Then in the next dimension, which was the blood dimension, that was from Noah over to the coming of Jesus and headed up in Jesus, this was a blood dimension. And during this blood dimension, he began to purge in the type in the blood dimension. And he purged all of the people by the shedding of the blood of those beasts and kept them under a beast, under a blood covenant. And then the third purging, which is over here in the last dimension of it, which is from Calvary to the coming of Jesus, the 2,000 years of the last or third dimension, he's purging by religion, which is spirit. He's purging by spirit, which is religion. But remember, religion is only a type. That's right, it's only a type. So then the 2,000 years from Adam until Noah is a water purging. The 2,000 years then beginning with Abraham, because the 2,000 really extends over Abraham in the first realm. 2,000 beginning down about Abraham coming on over to the cross is the blood purging. And then the 2,000 beginning at the cross coming on over to the rapture church is the spirit purging. Now, you say, well, Brother Pat, where do you get the spirit purging? How many of you know that from Calvary, right after Calvary, the Holy Ghost was poured out? That was the third. Is that right? The water was from Adam until Noah, or down to Abraham. And then the blood set in where Abraham started the offering up to God. The blood set in, and it lasted over to Calvary. And then the spiritual outpouring of the Holy Ghost, which was a spiritual witness, set in and rainbowed or coveted through the seven church ages over to the coming of Jesus. Now, that was the types. All of these was just types. Because to get the thing right, you got to go 4,000 years from Adam over to the cross. That takes the second 2,000-year dimension into the first one, and it combines those first two and makes them one. You understand what I'm saying? Now, it comes over to Calvary. Actually, from Adam to Noah is one dimension, or down to Abraham. From Abraham on over to the cross is another dimension. And from the cross over the coming of Jesus is another dimension. Now, but I say again, these are only types. These are only types. The first two is put together in one. That makes 4,000 years, and we'll credit back to the Jew. So really, it's a blood age, or we'll say a water age, rather. A water age all the way from Adam over to Jesus. It's the agricultural age. Then from the cross, which is just 2,000 years over to the coming of the Lord Jesus, 2,000 years, we divided that 2,000 years into halves to give a type. We divided into halves to give a type. Now, so then, it's just 2,000 years, which is just the second dimension. The first dimension reaches from Adam to the cross, which is 4,000 years. The second dimension reaches from the cross to the rapture of the church, which is 2,000 years. The next dimension reaches from the rapture of the church to the great white throne of judgment, which is 1,000 years. So the types, to get the types, you've got to divide it up in 2,000-year spans. You understand what I'm saying? To get your types. Now, that is running at 2,000 years from Adam to Noah, 2,000 years from Noah, that is from Abraham, on over to Jesus, and 2,000 years from Jesus to the rapture of the church. Now, you say, well, that's confusing, Brother Pike. Well, here's the confusing part about it. See, if you run it 2,000, 2,000, 2,000, it's not confusing. Are you following me? But if you run it Jew, Catholic, and Protestant in religions, then you got to break the last 2,000 in half to get a 1, 2, 3. You understand what I'm saying? Right, now, but really, these two are one, so that's only the middle dimension with the rending of the veil. So then we'll take this right over here, and this is really the way it's supposed to be run. 4,000, 2,000, and 1,000. You see what I'm saying? 4,000, you can take this 2, 2, 2, and 4, 2, 1, and 5, 1, and 1, and so forth, and run into 1, 2, 3 power if you want to do it. But anyway, we showed how that the number 40 followed the Jews. 4,000 years and 40 years in the wilderness, and Solomon reigned 40 years, and Saul 40 years, and David 40 years. And the 4 was always with them because it was the judgment number. And then the 2 was always with the Gentile. And you might say, well, why did God pick 2? Because the veil was rent in 2, twain. It was divided into halves, and that's why the Lord did that, as far as I understand. That was one of the major reasons. It was a division or a divided kingdom, and Jesus said a divided kingdom can't stand. It's darkness and light trying to mix itself together. That's where the trouble is. And a kingdom can't stand. Now, the first kingdom was all right because it was a natural kingdom. It was under the governmental powers of God. It wasn't divided. The next kingdom was a divided kingdom. But the next kingdom, which is the kingdom age, which is the 1,000 years where God sets up the church government, it's not divided either. It's not divided. But the middle one is where the trouble is. A divided kingdom can't stand. This first kingdom will stand. I say, well, Brother Pike, it didn't stand. But the promise to Abraham was that God would give them an inheritance in the earth forever. Isn't that right? They'll get it right on in the millennium, the land that was promised to them. Now, I think the Jordanian leader was killed today, assassinated. Papers probably carried it, a radio or something. He was telling me about it. Number one rival against the Jews or Palestinians. And, of course, you know the number one rival against the Palestinians is death, or that is against the people, which has to do with Jordan. We're speaking about death being conquered. So it looks like it comes right down the line, don't it?
Yes, amen.
All right, now then, we was emphasizing that we've come to a great thing in God. Well, in this divided kingdom is where the trouble is. Right there is where all the problems are. Now, there is a lot that we can say about this if we can get in the mind of the Lord Jesus and really get interest. First of all, let's just take a little review here. We have the Holies of Holies here, and I go over these things 2 or 3 times because I know how hard it is to remember them even after you go over them and go over them and go over them. And then go back and try to remember them a few days later, and it's hard to do it. You have to have God to bring it to you. Now, but if you get it in your mind right, then when the anointing does come, He'll bring it back to your remembrance. If you don't get your thought pattern straight when He brings it back to your remembrance, it'll be all jumbled up. You go into a house and you get everything all jumbled up in the living room and in the kitchen and then cut the lights off. When you go back and cut the lights on, you can expect to find a jumble up mess. But if you set everything just right and then cut the lights off and then return and cut them back on, you'll find everything in place. Well, that's the way God does. A lot of times we think, well, Lord, we just missed it. We can't find it. We don't know where it went to. But if we carefully place it just like it goes, when the floodlights of glory or the anointing goes off and we go back into the mind of carnality, which is called darkness, everything is still just like it was, but we don't see it. But just as quick as we wake up again out of our slumber and sleep, and the floodlights of the anointing turns on, then we're looking at it as every bit just like he was. So then we can go right on teaching it. Now then, the tabernacle here, the tabernacle, it got the holies of holies, it's got the inner courts, got the outer courts. The Ark of the Covenant that they commemorated, they took with them wherever they went. The cherubs over the Ark that we spoke of. The seven candlesticks, and we spoke of Samson's seven locks and the seven pillars and how he pulled the pillars back after the seven locks. Or pulled the pillars down after the seven locks come back. So then, this, and then we spoke of the shewbread, which shewbread, you remember, was not lawful for anybody to eat but the priest. But you remember David went in and got it anyway in the time of trouble. And we brought out some things on that when Jesus walked through the cornfield and the disciples was plucking corn, and the Jews with their tradition said it's Sunday and you can't be plucking corn. Jesus said, well, so just go your way. He said, I won't sacrifice at this time. It ain't time of the judgment, yeah. So he said, I won't do it. Too much ignorance in the earth then for him to call for judgment. And I come to save that which is lost. But he said, go and learn what I'm saying. When he told them, said, know ye not that God is the Lord of the Sabbath? He's the Lord of the Sabbath. That man's not made for the Sabbath. The Sabbath was made for man. That he's not to be under bondage to days and years. And Paul said, all these things I'm afraid of you when you get under bondage to them. He said, but these things is for your benefit, and they're to be subject to you, and you're not subject to them. The Jews were subject to these things and in bondage with her children to the intellectual aspect of these things. But we are not subject to these things. We are free because Paul, speaking in Revelation and speaking of the allegoric type, he said, brethren, he said, Abraham had two wives. And he said, one wife, which was her name was Sarai, that was changed to Sarah, Abraham's name being Abram, changed to Abraham. He said, this one wife, first of all, which was Hagar, is a bondswoman. He said, which things are an allegory, a type, a shadow, a revelation, he said, is hid within it. And he said, the two wives, Hagar, is a bondsmaid. He said, and in Revelation, said it answereth to Mount Sinai, where the law was given. He said, which Jerusalem is now in existence and in bondage, that is to the tradition of the elders, to or with her children. Said, but Sarah answereth to heavenly Jerusalem, which is the mother of us all. And the Bible said that Isaac was the free son, because Hagar was a bondsmaid. That is, she was not a free woman as Sarah was when Abraham took her to wife. But she was already a servant to begin with. And he took her to wife as a servant. So that was made her bondsmaid and made her subject to the higher powers. So then, there's a lot could be said about that, but anyway, the revelation, the types, the shadows, women being a symbol of the church, being a symbol of heavenly Jerusalem. And then, of course, we have Keturah also, which was a type, the third wife of Abraham. We brought out something on that, I believe, on the tapes here somewhere, of the 1, 2, 3 wives. Now, but the thing that I'm trying to point out here is that this holies of holies and this outer court is broken down into three parts. Now, we can take a 1, 2, 3 dimensional thing and run it from the beginning of the world over to the end of the world. The Bible said in the beginning was the Word. Now, when we think of that, we say, well, in the beginning, that meant God. No, I don't believe that's really what it meant. I believe it meant in the beginning of the creation that the, well, Brother Branham used a term one time that the spoken word is the original seed. And I believe that in the beginning of the creation, there had to be a word that was a formulated expression for life. I believe that life, without any personified form, so far as human beings are concerned, existed. But that life, which is God, the great eternal fountain, had to be expressed through a formulated expression which is called the Word of Jesus Christ. In the beginning was the Word. And God, being the great Spirit, used the Word to express it and the Holy Ghost to form it. So to me, this world is nothing more than a veil of expression. That's all it is. I believe that this world is not a vocal expression, but it is an expression of sight that we might receive an impression or human thought pattern of the veil. I believe that's all the world is. Now, of course, I might get a lot of dispute on that. Somebody say, well, you don't believe in reality. Yeah, I believe in reality. But it would take a lot to say what I'm, or explain what I'm trying to say. But in essence, what I'm saying is this, that in the beginning was the Word. And that Word spoke a veil into existence called a world. And I believe that God is above us, in us, and through us, that God is the that God is the Spirit of life and existence, and that everything that's in existence is nothing less or more than God in a veil. And I believe that God is a spiritual life that exists. And when we take the veil off of anything, that we see God, the Spirit of life, as a mind of life. I hope you can understand what I'm saying. But anyway, what I'm saying is this, that to me the world is nothing more than an allegoric veil or a shuck in which the grain grows. And I wish that spirit of suspicion would get out of here. Amen. It keeps interfering with the anointing. Now then, the veil, the Bible said Satan saves the things that be of the flesh. There's a time for all things. Now then, the veil in this world, the world is nothing more to me, the way I understand it. It's nothing more than the world that is, nothing more than a veil. It's just a formulated expression or an image expression or God's formulated expression of Himself to an intellectual mind. That's all it is. I believe it only exists by the beast mind of intellect. I believe that's the origin of man, is the tree of knowledge. I wish we could go into all that and explain what I'm trying to say. But if the world is nothing more than an intellectual expression, that is a veil, a symbol, something that's symbolic, a composition of, I believe they use the word electricity. It's a composition of electricity. Well, that is a constitution of electrons or atoms or neutrons or protons or whatever you would want to call it, that this is a veil, a constitution of these things that is in existence, because God, who is the power of all creation, put it together in a composition by a formulated expression working through human intelligence, and that is what we refer to as a tree of knowledge. Had to be a tree of knowledge. Wasn't no way to get around it. That's why God said, now lest they put forth their hand and partake of the tree of life and live forever. In other words, that's kind of an unusual statement. You can't make heads or tails out of it unless you understand Revelation. But He said, now lest they put forth their hands, partake of the tree of life, and live forever. And that's all He says about it. You say, well, what does it mean? He means I got to get them out of the garden, lest they do that. I got to get them away from the tree of life, because they're just gone living forever. So He took them out of the tree, or out of the garden, away from the tree. So then, what I'm trying to say here is that life There is no life but God, the spiritual quickening. God, the quickening, the spiritual quickening. Electrical powers or electrocities are quickenings. That's what they are. Now then, the world is a composition to me of electrons. Nothing but a veil. To get the grain, you got to shuck the corn. And I believe that what we've got to do is just shuck it down. And then when we shuck it down, while the beasts fill their belly with the husk, and what they believe to be life will really send it right into the veil. And just like God did here at Calvary, shuck it down. Tie down the middle wall of partition. Take away the veil. And go right back to God. Because I believe that this body is a veil that stands between our angelic being and God, who is the super angel. I believe that. The only way that my angel can get back to God's great spiritual power or angel or life is to get the body out of the way, which is a tabernacle or a veil in which my inner man has been placed in prison from the act of indecency in the garden by the tree of knowledge. That is, I believe my soul and my spirit was taken into that, just as your soul and spirit was taken into it through sin and through the abased side of life, and that the world was placed in your heart. And the only existence of the world is your intellectual tree of knowledge thought pattern. And that when God takes that mind out of you, which is the intellectual veil, and places within you the kingdom of God, He gives you back the mind that Adam had over there in the garden, puts the mind of God back within you, and then you shut everything down by your new thought pattern. Therefore be transformed by the renewing of your mind, Paul said. Transform your mind by the word, translate your spirit, and then transfigure your body as you, through the God mind that transformed your mind from darkness unto light, that great God mind transmitting through your translated spirit into your blood genetics the quickening, not a temporal quickening, but an eternal quickening. Now in this world they say mind over matter, which is a natural mind over natural matter. Now, that means to change the form of it and build and cut down a tree and saw it up and all this kind of thing. That's mind over matter. But a natural mind cannot create anything. It takes God's mind over matter to create something. So the natural man can work with the matter, and he can have mind over matter as far as changing the images and the forms, but he can't create it. It takes God's mind over matter to be able to create it, bring it into existence. So, I believe that the beast mind, which is the mind of education, of human understanding, the tree of knowledge, I believe it was necessary for God to give that he might work through that. Paul said, as we've borne the image of the earthly, so shall we bear the image of the heavenly. He said, there's a natural body and a spiritual body. There's a terrestrial body, there's a celestial body. And he said, even though we've been made in the image of God, it's obvious that man fell from the image of God. Adam was made in the image of God, but what was Adam called? He was called the Son of God. When Jesus came, he was made in the image of God, he was called the Son of God. But you say, well, we are all made in the image. Well, you don't believe that. I mean, you couldn't possibly believe that, because God doesn't look like 100,000 different people. He couldn't look like that. What it is, man lost his identity through the depraved nature. Losing the nature of God, he lost his image. Because an image is developed by nature. It doesn't make any difference how you look at it. That's the way it comes. It's developed by nature. That's why your little boy or little girl looks just like you. Is because of the nature. Now, the reason an apple looks like an apple is because it's got an apple nature. An orange looks like an orange because it's got an orange nature. And I believe them. You take a lemon, limb, a branch, and put it on an orange tree. It don't make any difference. But limb that's bearing the lemons will still bear lemons because of the nature of it. It just automatically do it. So then, we are partakers of the divine nature of God when we are born again. Then we start as a little child in our new life, forming again to the image of God, growing up to the fullness of the stature of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the image that we was in to begin with. So then man lost his identity out there when he got away from Adam, or that Adam got away from God. He took on the image of the beast and the nature of the beast, lost the image of God, and lost the benefits of God. But then when God condemned the beast here at Calvary, then we again through death lose this image and lose this nature and lose this identity of the beast to come back to what Adam was, the first man Adam, come back to what he was, and that is the image of God. You understand what I'm saying? I'd like to finish this little thought or two if I can. The world to me is nothing more than an image that is a veil image that a great sculptor called God has used a veil to cover his masterpiece after his finished work until the time of the showing to the people, which is Christ within the veil. Now, I believe the Bible said the time will come when the knowledge of the Lord shall fill the heavens, the earth, and the sea, and the sky. I believe that we're living in the age when stars testify to us. For the Bible said it was set there for signs and seasons. The moon and the sun, everything testifies to us. The grass, the trees, everything is God within the veil. The God mind of expression, the word expression within the veil. Now, if God spoke that image or that veil into existence and called it a world. He spoke it into existence by a formulated expression called the Word. If He created a world by this expression, then the same Word which is created, the mind of God, can speak it out of existence. And when the veil is spoken out of existence, that's the end of the world. We're living in the end of the world. God is speaking it out of existence. You say, now, Brother Pine, God doesn't do anything except through His Son, Jesus Christ. What do you think we are, folks? We're the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's speaking the world out of existence. The world is in a human heart. When a man hears the word of God, God speaks it out of his heart and speaks the kingdom of God in his heart. And then that man no longer sees the veil image because he translates his thoughts, translates his spirit, and will eventually translate or transfigure his body. Transfiguring means to come from the image of the beast into the image of the Son of God, into the image of God, the one He was made in. Transfigure it back is what Jesus did on the mountain. He did this without dying because He come to the mind of God and come to the faith of that mind. As long as I'm in the beast's mind, as long as I'm in the beast thought pattern, then my faith is an intellectual faith, and through my intellectual activities, I plant an intellectual garden. That is a natural garden. I sow a natural seed. I reap a natural harvest. I feed my natural body from the natural elements of the ground, and I get a natural energy that keeps me naturally going in this life. But that's not life. That's only just a little sip of life that God breathed into Adam's nostrils. He became a living soul. The Bible said man's breath of life is in his nostrils. That's not real life, my brother and sister. That's just me sipping life through the veil, through the symbols, through the types, through the shadows, through the beast mind, through the glass darkly, through the allegoric pattern of thought pattern of human beings. That's just you sipping a little life through that. Sipping a little. But when the veil is taken away, and then you get the mind of God. It will give you the nature of God. It will develop a body of God, a celestial body. It will bring you a... It will cause you to sow a spiritual harvest, to reap a spiritual benefit and feed a spiritual appetite, the spiritual food that will give you the spiritual energy that will cause you to live a spiritual eternal life. Life is without fear, without frustration, without lust, without covetousness, without hatred, without surmising, without jealousy, without bitterness. That's life. But all of this other is just life sipping through the veil of fear. You just get a little sip through fear, a little sip through this, a little sip through that, and it's not real life. Now, I want the mind of God, don't you? We've got a temporal life that's just in our nostrils, say, blew and it's gone. But if we don't take that temporal life in our lifetime and switch over like a baby from a bottle from milk to meat, and switch over into the eternal mind to get the eternal life, then we're nothing more than a beast. We'll die. We'll perish with the world because we're nothing more than a veil. But if we switch over, then from that minute on, we're just as eternal as we'll ever be. I'm glad I switched over and I'm eternal tonight in Christ Jesus. Amen. The other is just a little old temporal life that don't amount to a hill of beans. That's right. Why do you say I don't believe that? Well, I'm not going to fuss with you about it. I'm just here to tell you, that's all. You can treat it like you want to. Now, so many things that I'd like to say that I just can't possibly bring out concerning the garden and the different things. But now, let's stay with this for just a few minutes here concerning the holies of holies. First of all, I said that the Western world is the woman aspect of it. I know we say 13, the number of the bride, but really the number of the woman is what it is. Now, America, as you very well know, on the flag it was 13 stars to begin with. Is that right? It was 13 stars. But today we've got 50 stars. We've got 50 stars on the flag, and then we've got the stripes on the flag, and then we've got the colors, which is the great United States flag. This great United States is the third dimensional projection of God in the great Trinitarian cycle of history. Now, I believe that history repeats itself in three major cycles. And the Lord told me a long time ago, He said, when man has gone just as far as he can to the boundary lines of infinity, he can't go any farther because he's a man with an intellectual mind, a beast. He can't go any further. But he said the sons of God will continue on, go right on into infinity with the mind of God and be translated and cross over that boundary line out there. After man has gone just as far as he can, the Lord said then he will revert back to his beginning, his origin. He'll make a circle. Now, he's done just exactly that. He explored the moon. He explored the atoms. He broke them down to electrons, and that was as far as he could go. Right on down to the finite stages of it, he couldn't go no further. What did he do? Started back to days of Buffalo Bill, letting his beard grow out, letting his hair grow out. Got to go back and get grandma's rocking chair and get the antiques and build the houses like them. And then you got to go back and get the buggies and old cars. And you know what I'm talking about, the old dresses, everything going right back because that was as far as you could go. That's a good proof that the end of the world is here. The end of the world is here. Now, you certainly don't believe God's going to let them go all over everything he done been over, do you? As long as they're going into something new, God will go along with them. But when you revert back and start all over again, God isn't going through all that again. So that proves that the man's mind is at an end. But now look at what we're doing. Why, we're not at an end. We got a lot to do yet. These things here, they don't know nothing about. We had to get the first of it before we could ever even get to this. In other words, God couldn't even give this Brother John till the other run out. Jacob couldn't get Rachel till he had already taken Leah. Now, there was no way to ever bring a revelation out of a thought that didn't exist. There had to be the intellectual thought pattern of the tree of knowledge, that it might be a formulated expression of a spiritual life. Only a type, an antitype. This world is an antitype. The government is an antitype. School is an antitype. Everything in it's an antitype, and it will head up in an antichrist. Everything. We say, well, that's antitype. Brothers and sisters in Christ, there ain't nothing in this world that ain't antitype. Everything's antitype, including the beast that's the nearest thing to a God-man. He's an antitype. Brute beast, and it head up in the beast, which is an intellectual power, philosophy, and great knowledge and all that kind of thing. That's the beast. All right, now then, this third dimension that we call the Protestant Age. And how many of you understand now what we said? I went over this a lot of times to where I could teach this without it being confusing. Now, this is the third dimensional age, which is the Western world called the woman's world. Now, let's just run through it just a minute. From the land of Palestine, from the Jewish age, civilization springs up. It springs up from over in Egypt, through the hieroglyphics, Rosetta Stone, the different things that you can check out over there that history speaks of. Civilization springs up. Now, we accredit it, well, we don't, but the world accredits it to the intellectual brilliance of mankind. I'd say there wasn't any real civilization till Abraham got down into Egypt, or Joseph got down into Egypt over there, and began to start it over there. And when he set things up, it really got underway. That was a real civilization. So then they trace it back to their natural ancestors. We trace it back to our ancestors. But civilization got started according to their calculation over there in Egypt. I believe that civilization was way back there with Adam. I believe he was every bit civilized. But anyway, that's as far as they can go back without giving God credit. And the devil ain't going to give God nothing if he can help him. So then they go back to Egypt, back to bondage, back to the garlic, back to the onions. We go back to the garden, back there. Now, so then this is the third dimensional setting. In the first setting, which we refer to as Palestine, I'll use this chart right here to give us a symbol. In the first setting comes the Jew first and then the Gentile. That's the man's aspect of it. The seed is sown, and then it goes to the dark age of travail, the second age, and then the child is born. And over here in the United States is the great day of frolic for the young'uns. So then we see it over here in this great age. We brought it out about Cain and Abel, how one was killed and the other came to replace him. That is Seth. We spoke of the Jew, a symbol of Abel back there, and how that the beast of German people, which was a symbol of it, killed out the Jew in the tithe. And then from Abel there come the spiritual Jew, the replacement Seth. He came, which is over here in the United States. Now then, this great United States is going down in a bloodshed sunset of confusion right here, and in a travail here to bring forth a man-child reverting back to the east, the sunrise of the gospel. Now, I made the statement that from the east comes civilization, and then across the world, just as the sunlight moves over, give the great sunlight of civilization, and then when the sun goes down, well, the darkness falls. The gospel did the same way, but it came over to the Western world. And then when it got over here in the Western world, and it was as far as it could go, it had to start back around the other side and come back up over here with the resurrection of the Jews. And Paul said that the casting away of the Jews brings the sunlight of revival to the world. Then what will the going down the sun be, that is, to turn back to the Jew? What will the returning to the Jew be but resurrection from the dead, which means the rapture? The sun goes as far as it can, then it goes down, then darkness comes. America's gone as far as she can. Civilization has reached its highest point. Now it's going down. You say, Brother Pike, what makes you think it's going down? Statistics show that the world is reverting to paganistic practices and heathenism faster than they can be educated anymore. Now then, it's going down. That's why hippies is coming in. That's why Beatles and Beatniks is coming in. That's why all of this mess is coming in. Because the sunlight of civilization is going down. And heathenism is covering the world. Gross darkness covering the people, which is heathenistic practices. They are beginning to put holes in their ears and put rings back in it. And I wouldn't be surprised if they ain't so long they put holes in their nose and put rings in it. And all those kind of things, painting their bodies like lizards and stripping off and doing everything that's ungodly. It's the same paganistic practices that they had before. Smoking and all of that. They say Columbus, when he first found the Indians back over smoking. Well, he used an expression that might not sound right if I used it. But anyway, he said it, he referred to it as hell when they were smoking over there. So it's the same paganistic practice. They wouldn't accept the gospel, so it went down in darkness. America won't accept it, so it's gone down in darkness. Now, I said that to say this, that with the natural pilgrimage of civilization, there is a beautiful parallel that runs side by side, which is a religious activity. That's right. There is a natural coming over of a pilgrimage. There is a physical reaction of religion coming with it. And it's politics and so forth, really, rather than religion. We'll keep it in the title, we'll say politics. And then there is a religion coming over with it, which denotes three things, the body, soul, and spirit. Now then, it comes over here to the Western world, and then when all of this takes place, then it goes right back over to the Jews. Right back over for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. But in the end of its discourse here in the United States, remember, it comes over international. Then it reverses and it starts its pilgrimage back in the spiritual. That's why from America, there it goes out religion. From America goes out religion. From the East comes the natural pilgrimage of civilization and education. But from here goes out religion to the world. We evangelize the world. Now, from here, from the United States, going back, but remember this, as it come over, it started in Egypt. Let's give you a time. Egypt, the wilderness, Canaan land. Then it done the same thing in the Dark Age of 1, 2, 3 in the Dark Age. Very same thing. We could go into it according to the dates and all. We've got them wrote on the back of this board, I believe, right here. Same thing in the religious. Now, we're dealing with the religious aspect of it. Remember your tithe, the 2,000 years. We're dealing in the religious aspect of it. Not even 2,000 years, but just half of a 2,000 years, about 1,000 years, which is the Protestant age. Now, it types out just exactly like it does, and it's all over. When they landed at Plymouth Rock, they'd come 1, 2, 3, Palestine, Italy, and then the United States. Then when they come to the United States, that was the last step of it. They have to start back. But when it got here, it had to run its 1, 2, 3, just like Egypt, Canaan, Egypt, wilderness, and Canaan land, like it did in the first stages of it, like it did in the Dark Age with the 1, 2, 3. I got over here and it had to run its 1, 2, 3 for a finish. So when they landed at Plymouth Rock at Jamestown, Virginia, then what happened? They set up their government, got everything going. And then when everything was going real good, God wanted it to go all the way across the United States to set up these things. And what did he have to do? Well, he knows man is gluttonous. He knows man's covetous. He knows man's greedy. So what did he do? He started a gold rush. He let them discover gold out on the West Coast. That's in the third dimension. Discovered gold, and what happened? Everybody took off in a mad rush. It was a crazy world for a while. people was dying out in the desert, and there's really some stories about it. If you've ever read it, it's really, it's a something. So then to spread it, God let the gold rush come. Now, we could go into a lot of revelation on it. But anyway, they made their way across to the west. The 1, 2, 3. Still the natural pilgrimage because it's still going in its first trim. I'm not breaking down everything like I need to break it down because it would take a long, long, long time. But you have to do every bit of this before you can ever get to the present day aspect of it. And of course, that's what we're interested in. But now the 1, 2, 3. It got at Jamestown, Virginia. Then later on, the gold rush started. The gold rush started. A lot of things that could be added into this. But then it spread to the west. Well, now then, after it spread to the west, and we won't go into the revelation of what happened during those times, just like we didn't over here, but just going on toward the end here to get a continuity of thought. When it went through this dimension, 1, 2, 3. You say, now what do you mean, 1, 2, 3, Brother Pine? I mean that it started in the eastern part of the United States. Then it crossed over one boundary line, which was the Mississippi River. Then between the Mississippi River and the Rockies, it's just like a wilderness. It got to the Rockies, it crossed the next great hurdle. And I tell you what, if you don't think God worked a great miracle, you go out to the Rocky Mountains. Look out there at that 200 miles of Rocky Mountains. How those people got through there in those buggies and horses and so forth, that one little stream down, falling down there right along the, well, everything rot and following the little old trail that had been cut through there by water. And then after all of that heartaches and sorrow to come out on the other side, and here's a desert that's something awful to have to cross, across Utah, Nevada, and so forth. I've been across it by faith. So I had to cross it and to get over there to California. It was a terrible thing. But anyway, they did it. But it had to be done to finally bring out God's types and shadows. So then the Rocky Mountains was the great next hurdle. Crossed over the Rocky Mountains. Now then, from Jordan in its symbol, which is the Mississippi River, back to the eastern part of the United States, that's the first part. That's the first part. Now, it comes 1, 2, 3. The second part is from the Mississippi River coming over to the Rocky Mountains. Over to the Rocky Mountains. Now then, from the Mississippi River to the Rocky Mountains is like the wilderness. Then the third part is from the Rocky Mountains to the Great Pacific Ocean. The first part is from the Jordan, the Mississippi, over to the Atlantic seaboard, or the Atlantic Ocean. Now, this is three types. What we'd like to express it as, 1, 2, 3. Washington, the holies of holies, where the governmental order and control of the world is the Ark of the Covenant. Named after Washington, and we brought them things out the other night. And then the outer courts, which is around Washington, because Washington is sovereign. It doesn't belong to any state or any country. The United States is the inner courts. And then the next great dimensional step is the United Nations, which is the outer courts. Now, I'm not speaking of the United States now. In this third dimensional thing, I'm speaking of the East, the West, and in between, I'm speaking of the United States. But now notice this is not drawn on the third dimensional scale here. This is drawn on the world scale, because this takes in Washington, the United States, and the nations abroad. Now, I made the statement the other night. We predicted that the Pope of Rome would come over here about the year 66 when the angel of God appeared to us in a vision. Down in Florida, we made the statement that concerning some international events that took place. Long about this time, we said that the Pope would come over about the year 66, which he did. He went to the United Nations headquarters, heard a voice's opinion. He pleaded with China to come into the United Nations. Now, he told me the other night that China come into the United Nations, Brother John. I made the statement, when China come in, everything will be set. Because this is where the trouble is with China. So then, China come in now to the United Nations. China is the dragon nation that sets everything in motion. Now, the Antichrist will rule through the woman, which is the Western world. That's the United States. He'll rule through the woman. The Lord Jesus Christ always rules through the man. Anytime a woman gets in control of the home is full of the devil. Anytime a woman rules her husband, and her husband, like a sheep, just listens to her, that woman is full of the devil. I don't care how religious she is. I don't care how loving she is. She's full of the devil. And the man is a slave to Satan. And the home is in corruption and will be lost and destroyed, because God pours wrath on it sooner or later. It's wrong. It's in perversion, and God will have it. Anytime a nation gets in where the woman is in control, it's in trouble. And the United States, I believe, this year has got a woman running for president. I believe, if I make no mistake. Is that right? Running, Brother Branham's folk are seeing a woman in control of the world. Well, all you got to do is just put a woman in Washington, D.C., because Washington, D.C. controls the world. That'd be it. But anyway, what I'm saying is that when a woman gets in control, you got problems, you got troubles, you got God's wrath on you. Now, everything will go wrong. Everything will go wrong. Just get enough time and everything will go wrong. It might look good, but it'll go wrong. Now, women have got in control in the United States. It's nothing but a big slop hole. I hate to say it like that. Sometimes it don't sound good, Brother Joe, to express it like that. I don't mean that wrong, but that's what it is. It's just a big slop hole. Woman makes a big slop hole out of the home. She makes a big slop hole out of the United States. She makes a big slop hole out of the world. That's all she does. You say, well, Brother Pike, you're mighty hard on women. I'm not speaking of a woman. I'm speaking of the devil within her. Satan rules inside of her. If a woman will follow her husband, obey her husband, love and reverence her husband, and stop trying to lead him, control him, put rings in his nose, then she'll be a wonderful woman. God will be with her. She'll be blessed. She'll have a wonderful intelligence. Now, this woman is running for president. Made the statement just a few days back, understand. She said, look at such and such. Why is it like that? Said a man done it. That's the devil. Then she mentioned something else. Said, look at the mess it's in. Who done it? A man done it. Said, what you need is a woman. Now she lying. The woman done it to start with. Amen. That's where the trouble was. If our president up yonder, President Nixon, wouldn't let his wife lead him around, everything would be all right. If Johnson hadn't let the wife lead him around, everything would have been all right. If the senators wouldn't let the wife lead him around, everything would be all right. That's where the trouble is. It's with the woman doing every bit of it. If she can't control one way, she'll control through her husband. The devil knew that if he could get the woman would get the man, because he's sex crazy. He ain't got enough sense to stay away from sex. He goes crazy over lust. So he figured, well, if I can get the woman, I'll get the man. I'll strip her half naked and and I put it on the billboards, and I put it in the newspapers, and I put it in the magazines, and I put it in their minds, and put it on the street, and just be a slop hole. Now, everything decent is turned into a mess. So then Satan will set his kingdom up just exactly like we spoke of. Set his kingdom up and rule through the United Nations. He will cause these nations to come together, and when Israel rejects him, he will cause them to gather in around Israel to force Israel to come into the United Nations Pact. The Bible says concerning Herod and concerning the Antichrist, though Herod was king, though Daniel speaks of the Antichrist being king, what did it say? It said, tidings out of the east troubled him. Is that right? He had all the powers he set up in his throne. But something kept troubling him about the east. What was it? Somebody said, a king's coming. His name is Jesus. He's coming. His name is Jesus. He's coming. His name is Jesus. So he couldn't rest. He had everything under his control. But he couldn't rest. Jezebel and Ahab had everything under the control. But somebody said, there's a little vineyard. There's a little vineyard. There's a little vineyard. Somebody said, who's this? It's Naboth. It's Naboth. Jezebel said, I can't rest. Ahab said, I can't rest. I can't rest. So it's the same thing. It's Naboth's little vineyard. Tidings out of the east shall trouble him. So then the Antichrist will set up, brothers and sisters in Christ, and he will rule through the, in the holies of holies, through the United States, having control of the United Nations. Anything without the outer court is considered dogs, whoremongers, liars, cheats, swindlers, everything to him. There'll be one religion. That'll be the Catholic religion. Anybody that never did study the Dark Age, you'd be surprised to know how powerful that was. Even Holland was under the control of it. Now then, the outer courts, the inner courts. Now, we can't go into all of it to break it down, but if you and your mind will follow the Spirit of God, he'll show you how the brute beast, what is considered the brute beast to him, how that the beast's body is burned without the gates, just like it was in the court, how they're slain through the wars and all the things that happen. And inside here, notice now, I will say just a little bit more here before we close. And it's a lot that I'd like to get in on that third dimensional outline that maybe we can get into a little bit later. But notice this now, in the outer courts, where is the brazen altar at? Where is the brazen altar, folks? Let's just do a little proving. How many of you have to do just a little proving to see if this is right? All right, now if it's right, the touch will come out right. Isn't that right? All right, where is the brazen altar over here? It's in the outer courts. Is that right? Is that right? Where is it? All right, now then, when we look for the cross, which I said was the brazen altar where the lamb was offered up, where is it at? Is it in the United States, which is the inner courts? Or is it in Washington, which is the holies of holies and the symbol? Or is it out here around in Jerusalem, which is out in the United Nations, in the range of the United Nations, in the outer court? Or where is it at? Calvary is in the range of the United Nations. It's the brazen altar, because it was found in the outer courts right here. Now then, the same way that you found it, notice right here the lava. You'll find it the same way. Start looking at the oceans and seas and different things. And watch how it types out every bit of it. And then come into the tabernacle of the testimony. Begin to check around. Get right here in the United States, into your inner courts, begin to check around for your apostolic bread and see where its origin is. Begin to check around for these seven spirits where we have reference to the church age and see where they come to. See where you find them at. Begin to check into the other parts of it and see if it won't work out just exactly perfect in these things. The sacrifice, the washing, the beast, the type of beast, the practices, the feast and everything. Break it down and see if it won't be just exactly like we see it. So then, a 1, 2, 3 in the United Nations. In the United Nations. Now I'm going to stop here. But I'd like to say this, that if we can take the third dimensional setting, when we thoroughly glean some of this, then we take the third dimensional setting, then we'll try, if we can, the Lord's will, to go that 1, 2, 3 in the United States, break down the third dimensional setting of it after we run the whole thing this way, break it down, and then we'll take the present day truth and tie it together to where you can better understand it than when we last brought it out. Then you'll have it all tied together in a continuity. That doesn't mean you have all the revelation, but you will have a perfect continuity of it where God can fill it in your mind if you're willing to, as Paul said, to work with him that he might give you the spirit of revelation. And he'll guide you into all truth and righteousness. But let's everybody now, for tonight, let's stop right here. Brother Taylor, would you wipe it off? I kept wondering where water was coming from. Might have to do with that latter rain. Praise God. It's right on the Good Shepherd edition, wasn't it? Let's everybody stand together now. I hope tonight, when I raise my voice and say things, I'm not trying to scold you. The only way in the world I know to get rid of spirits is to say something about them. I just don't know no other way to do it. I don't mean nothing wrong by it. And I wouldn't scold you for nothing because I don't know enough to scold anybody. I'm just trying to get in just like you are, just trying to do what little I can. But I am trying to share with you what God has shared with me, and there's a lot of it. And I'd love to do what I can to share it with you if you'll help me and give me a break in the spirit. Praise God.